two actual up there with school. Like, he had the number out.
Okay. So, continuing with what we started with, really, I mean, what we started with was the derais of basar b'chalav, and then we got into the different gzeiros derabbanan that Chazal put into place to make sure that no one comes even by accident to eating basar b'chalav. So we saw about we spoke about waiting 6 hours. And then we spoke about a milchiga bread and different types of things like that. And then now we'll just just a few other side things that Chazal also said as a good idea, so that one should not come to eat basar b'chalav by mistake. So first of all, the Rama brings down that actually mechaber that the tablecloth that you ate meat on, you should not use that same tablecloth for milchiks. That means to say that it means right after that suda, you finished eating meat, and now you want to go and even after 6 hours, you left that tablecloth on the table. You want to now go eat milchiks on the tablecloth. Chazal said, switch the tablecloth. Don't use the same tablecloth. And why? Because obviously it's a pashut asvara. Because we're chayshish that there are perurim on the tablecloth. And now that you're going to come to eat milk on it, you're going to end up eating some little pieces of meat together with your milk. Now, there are those who say that, but if nowadays we have washing machines, if you take off the tablecloth, you washed it, there's really no reason why you can't use the same tablecloth for milk and fleishiks, because we assume that anything that was there became either pogum or completely washed off, and therefore you can use the same tablecloth for milchiks and fleishiks as long as it was washed in between. There are those who say that not only that, but if you use a plastic tablecloth, that you could use one side for milchiks and one side for fleishiks. Now, it's not really such a good idea, because if, let's say, things spill, and you could put a kli rishon on there, and you spilled from a kli rishon, so it goes in a kadei klipa. I don't know if a tablecloth is even more than a kadei klipa, and then you're going to pour it on the other, spill something on the other side, it's going to go through, the tablecloth can become treif, so it's not really a suggested thing. But yeah, like a regular nylon, not the disposable ones, the hard plastic. I think the minig in Klal Yisrael, I think, is that for sure either placemats, people have separate placemats. You have the nylon tablecloth, with the designs on top, underneath it has some type of cloth underneath it. So people have separate tablecloths, the lining, yeah,
vinyl,
right? The vinyl tablecloths. So people have separate ones for milchiks and fleishiks, and just. So there is a I think it was the Kaf HaChaim. Someone says on the page that Pesach Chu, I think, brings it down that if you're eating on a plate, really there should be no issue. But I mean, we see, that that always happens. Not all the time are we so here, especially with kids. How often more often than not do they eat off the tablecloth than on the table on the plate? So la halacha it might be okay, but practically speaking, it's definitely best to have separate tablecloths, separate placemats, and this way you won't run into questions.
Put like a milk placement on a first tablecloth.
That you could, but then what's going to happen is you have to wash the bottom of it, because if the next time you use the other side and you didn't wash it, it was on a dirty tablecloth. So, I mean, these always are, that therefore, it's best to have always miyuchadig separate tablecloths, at least if they're not being washed, the plastic ones, the vinyl ones, separate tablecloths and separate placemats. Now, we spoke about yesterday about having milchiga bread or bread that was eaten on with fleishiga meal. You shouldn't use the slices that you cut. You shouldn't use those slices for a fleishiga meal, or vice versa. So there are those who want to say that if you used hummus and salads also in a meal, you shouldn't. Let's say it was a fleishiga meal, you shouldn't use it for a milchiga meal. But the pashtus is that shouldn't be a problem, because on pieces of bread, if you had dirty hands and you had, let's say, grease of meat on it, and you touched the bread, it got wiped off on the bread, and it was not buttle. It remains on the top of the bread. It doesn't get absorbed into the bread. Mashenken, if you have a salad or hummus or something like that, where something spilled into it, or you know, a little piece of meat or grease of meat fell in, so it gets batel in there anyway. So Chazal would never geyser on such a thing where it's going to get batel anyway, that you can't use it from one meal to the next. It's only by bread where it stays on, remains on the top, even though you don't see it, but it doesn't get absorbed. There they said, don't use the same bread or the same slices that you used in a milch gemil or a flesh gemil to use it for the opposite.
And also that bread, what if something fell into the
oven? Even so, I mean, it's even if bread did, I mean, it's little crumbs and it gets... Yeah, it'll get mixed in. The chashashas are very, very vite to have to say that you should have to. Also, you should generally, when you do it for sure by hummus, you know, you're having something that smears it onto the bread and that puts it back. You don't really dip your bread into there. So therefore, it's much less of a chashash. The Rama also brings down you should have two separate salt shakers. Now, there in those days, they didn't have salt shakers. They had little dishes like, you know, we had for Shabbos where you dip your fingers in and they used to put it on their food. So there's a big chashash because you have dirty fingers, you're putting it into the salt. Now, your fleshing stuff is going to get into the salt. To use that salt for milchiks is going to be problematic. So therefore, the Rama says you should have two separate dishes for salt, one for milchiks and one for fleshiks. Nowadays, be'etzem, there really is no chashash because the holes are pretty small and that something is going to get into the holes is really vite. The only thing that they say is that if you're having a salt shaker on a table, you have dirty hands that are touching your fleshik hands are touching the salt shaker, and then by the milchik hands touching it, and now there's grease from both on it. So therefore, it's a good idea to always have separate salt shakers, one for fleshiks and one for milchiks. Another thing that they say is that if for spices, it depends how you use it. This is just practically speaking. If you generally pour spices over a open pot that's on the fire, bubbling away, so now you have steam that's going up, and the steam can go up into the spice container. So even the Refelder said that the reason isn't such a major chashash, because what's going to happen? What you're doing is you're pouring out. So you're pouring out and Zeya's going in. So what's coming out of the holes are blocking really the Zeya from going into the can, the container. And even if it does, whatever it hit is batel be'elef, he said. So again, the Evid for sure there is no chashash. L'chatchila, again, these are things where either you should try to do it before you put it on the fire, or if you're putting it on the fire, put it into something else and then pour it in. But to pour it over an open pot which is steaming away, l'chatchila, one should definitely not do it, unless they're going to have two separate spice things. Now, another thing which could happen often is you are making a chalent and you want to add hot water to the chalent. This is either on Friday or Shabbos, whenever it is, when you're putting up your chalent, or on Shabbos, you realize that it's drying out. So what you might do is you might bring the pot to the urn and pour hot water directly into the urn, to the chalent. Problem is now the zeah from the chalent is going up, it's going to hit your urn, and now your urn is going to become fleshiks. So what's best to do is if you're going to have either a kumkum or an urn and you want to add water to your chalent, you should really add it to another keli and then put it into your chalent. And even on Shabbos, most paiskim say that you could even do that on Shabbos, even though now it's coming into a klisheni. So when you're pouring water from the urn into this klisheni, you're now going to be pouring from a klisheni into a klirishin. Most places can say that that's also okay. Rabbi Berkowitz said, passing that way. Near Shabbos, he brings down from Rabbi Shmuel Arbach also that you can pour from the hot water, from the hot urn into a klisheni and then pour that into your chalent. So it's best not to pour. What? Right. That the Galta Gasa, it's best to take it off the fire and put it on and pour it into there while it's off the fire. Yeah.
Lower down. Take it off.
Yeah.
Take off that. That's the steam. Right.
After 2 seconds,
Not enough steam.
It could be. But again, you have to know, like, if you're giving it practically for everyone who doesn't know everyone who doesn't know the halacha, so you might think, okay, how far is it? This far? Is it that far? No, but if you're putting it directly underneath it. Okay. I mean, it could be. Put water on the what? On the chalent? We say that l'chatchila you should only do when it's when it's burning out, they say, but it makes no difference anyway, because there's no extra bishul that's going on. The only shayla is hagas.
Yeah.
Right. No, pour cold water, your mamish doing bishul now. That you can't do. Yeah, you take from the urn, it's boiling hot water, put it into a cliche, and you can pour it in. Now, another thing that's just practical is to have obviously separate knives, cutting knives, but also you should have a parva knife. And why? Because probably about 99% of shaylos and basar b'chalav is I cut an onion with a fleishig knife and then I put it into a milchiga pan and then I, you know, forget it. Like, once it starts getting with all the onions and the oil and this, you know, I teach in yeshiva, so they called me up one night, they're like, is there any hetter for this? I took an onion, I cut it with a fleishig benyam, my knife, and we fried it in butter in a milchiga pan. I'm like, that is like... No getting out of that one. So the best is always to have parva knives, especially when you're using it for onions. This way, there are no shilas when it comes to the onion. Is it fleishig? Is it milchig? What was this onion? You know, you have an onion that's started cutting in the fridge. You don't remember what you did with it. Also, cutting boards are the same thing. The best is to have separate cutting boards, separate milchig, fleishig, parv, cutting boards, because also there's a very big chashash that when you're cutting on a cutting board and you're using, even if you're using, let's say, it's a milchig cutting board and you're using a parva knife or a fleishig knife, there's a chachmas adam which says that it could be the knife, the cutting board will... when the duchka of pressing it down on the cutting board will pull out of the cutting board into the onion. So the best is they have different separate knives, separate cutting boards. What? Yeah. Any type of that would be the best. Okay, I think that's for now.